Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to This Week in Testing. My name is Ben Doan, and I am an ambassador for Test Bash 2024, and I will be your host today. Please remember that This Week in Testing is a Ministry of Testing event, and as such, later on, when I invite you all to come and speak on stage, remember that the code of conduct is in act, and if you want to go and check out the code of conduct, you can do so at ministryoftesting.com/code-of-conduct, or you can find the link to the code of conduct in the footer on the ministryof.com homepage. This Week in Testing is now recorded for a podcast, and you can listen to the previous episodes of This Week in Testing on ministryoftesting.com/podcasts. There have been some very interesting discussions and debates on previous episodes, so I do recommend that you go and check that out. And it'll probably take about a week or so for this episode to go live after this recording. I am first going to do a little bit more of an intro and explanation of how things are going to happen today, and then spend about 10 minutes talking through some events from the community and some things going on at Ministry of Testing, and talk about this week in testing. And then at about 15:15, I will start inviting you to put your hand up and come up on stage and start telling us about your week in testing. So a few things that I want to call out straight away. One is very exciting. It will soon be, in just a few weeks' time, on the 12th and 13th of September, Test Bash Brighton, or Test Bash 2024. And I'm really looking forward to both being an ambassador on the first day, and on the second day, I will be running a workshop. And there's some really excellent talks and workshops and activities and goings-on happening, and some really cool stuff very busily going on in the background to prepare to give everyone who's attending Test Bash 2024 the best experience possible. I know Diana and Rosie and everyone else at MOT is feverishly working away at getting everything ready, and that all the fantastic contributors to the day and ambassadors are preparing themselves and making slides and planning workshops. It is all incredibly exciting. So if anyone today is going to Test Bash, wants to learn more about Test Bash, feel free to put your hand up later and come up on stage and tell us all about it. A few more things. Let's have a look at my list. So yeah, talking about Test Bash. Speaking of Test Bash, Jesse and Yogita have both won tickets for Test Bash 2024. So they took part in the 99-104 competition to name a planet, and they both suggested Testera. For different reasons. And do go and find that thread on LinkedIn. There's some really cool responses with different people suggesting different names of different planets. That was very, very good fun. Let's have a look at some other things that are going on. We have some upcoming meetups in the world of Ministry of Testing. There is Dubai, which is the first ever in Dubai, coming up. And we also have one in Auckland. So if you are in those parts of the world, do go check out those meetups. And meetups are now available on the ministryof.com website under events. So you can check out if there are meetups in your area, which is a relatively new development, which is very cool. All part of the initiative to make the MOT website as up to date and fresh, and have lots of new things on there. Speaking of which, do go check out the homepage at Ministry of Testing, because more and more different changes are going on, including one that I know Rosie is very proud of, where they can now feature individual club posts on the homepage. And this is very cool. If you're not already on the MOT club, this is a forum where you can go and meet the testing community, discuss particular topics, and you can also go and search for old discussions which may already give you answers to some questions that you have. Let's just grab a few more updates from the community. So a huge congratulations to Cassandra, who has got a new job. This is very cool. So I actually worked with Cassandra in a previous role that she had some time ago, and I'm really, really excited to see that they got a new job. So that is very, very cool. Big congrats to Cassandra. Let's see what else we've got. Does your organization have a testing community of practice? So Jasper has been investigating this kind of about community of practice trends. So if you go look at the trends section on the M&T website, there's all sorts of cool information on there about communities of practice. That could be another good topic if anyone's interested in talking about that today. Let me just go have another look before I for some more community stuff. Ah, yes, here's a nice one. So a recent blog post from Marit, how to make testing fun and enjoyable. This one is very cool. So Marit talks about the fact that some people really get confused by the fact that testing can be a very repetitive task, and that over time you just grow more and more tests for your regression suite and do it the same thing again and again. And Marit's giving some suggestions in the blog post about ways that you can actually add variety into your testing and meet even the repetition as a challenge, and have some interesting ways to mix things up, both for better testing and to make it more enjoyable. So that is a blog post that's really worth having a read. We will try and get that one into the show notes. I think I've got time for one or two more, so let's have a look. We've got some memes going on. So meme of testing, or Ministry of Memes, is now a thing. We've got some really great memes going on, including this one from Caleb: testing is an activity, not an artifact, which is a hilarious Indiana Jones theme. But generally speaking as well, James Wardle has been instrumental in supporting MOT and encouraging and memeing regularly. And now there is actually a MOT memes area on the website, which makes me smile. So that is an awful lot of fun. Get your memes in now. Let's pick a couple more. Let me take an opportunity to talk to you about Testing Planet. So we have two more episodes of Testing Planet now scheduled in and planned this year. I have no information if there'll be more later in the year, but at least two that are already scheduled in. So we have a Test Bash special, which is Testing Planet episode 5, is now scheduled in for the 26th of September, just a little while after Test Bash itself. So that will be a Test Bash related special episode of the Testing Planet. And then in October, episode 6, The Apprentice. Thursday, the 24th of October. A curious tester seeks advice from a friend. Many community members realize they have more advice to share than they once believed. Origin stories reveal curious connections. So this is a event that is online and free to attend live, recorded, and then available later on to pro members. And this one will be about newer members of the community and people who are learning testing, coming into testing, I am really looking forward to that episode over in October. And finally, for those of you who are not already pro members, do check out the Excellent Value Ministry of Testing Pro and Ultimate memberships available. More information available on the Ministry of Testing website, where you get access to all sorts of interesting things. One of the things I actually really like about the Ministry of Testing Pro membership is the access to the backlog videos of the recordings of previous Test Bash conferences. So I've watched a huge amount of Test Bash from many years where I've not been able to attend in person. And there's some absolute gold in that archive that still stands up well today. And I really recommend, if you get a chance to get yourself a pro membership, to really take advantage of going back and looking through and watching some of the previous Test Bash presentations, because they're a very cool source of inspiration. And like I say, many of those still hold up well, even years later. Okay, well, I'm sure there's absolutely loads more on this list I could talk about, but I won't, because I am keen to get some of you lovely people up on stage to join the conversation. As I take a sip of my tea, this is your chance to put your hands up. Just a note, as I mentioned earlier, joining in on stage, you will be part of the recording of the podcast. So yeah, if anyone wants to come and join me and talk to me about your week in testing, now is your chance. Okay, just while we're waiting for people to put their hand up there, the button that you're going to want to press, I think it's raise, which is the rather than the react emoji. If you want to come up on stage, and I'll just mention that for the there is no tweet this week in testing on the 30th next week while we prepare for Test Bash. So just a note that this week in testing will take a short break next week. Let me see who we've got in the audience today who might be interested in coming up on stage. If this is your first time on This Week in Testing, welcome. Okay, we have a volunteer to come up on the stage.
Yo, hi man, it's Kunal from India. It's my first time that I'm joining the Ministry of Testing live podcast.
Kunal, thank you very much for joining us. How is your week in testing going?
Yeah, it's going on great. Like, I'm learning some new stuff and adding some new things in my project right now, and learning through YouTube. Just going on fine as for now.
Very cool. And is there a topic today that you wanted to talk about more? Is it something about your week in testing, or perhaps one of the topics that we discussed earlier, or any questions you might have?
Yeah, I have one question, like to all of you, if anyone can answer it. So I don't have any degree in, you know, like BTech, or in a, I don't have any much tech background. So I just learned all about the testing, Selenium, Python, and PyTest framework, all from the YouTube only. So I generally face, you know, one problem when I give my resume in any company. So they ask me about, you know, degree and all, like BTech and anything else. So do you have any suggestion in this scenario?
That is a great question. Do we have anyone in the audience who wants to speak to education and especially degrees and the need for them in testing roles? Ashutosh, please join us on stage. Welcome.
Hey, Ben. Hey, Sarah. Hello, Kunal.
Yeah, hi, Ashutosh.
One quick thing that comes to my mind is the Harvard CS50 course. They do give, it's a free course. Mm-hmm. And they do give a certification. If you want to give like have a certification, you have to pay for it, I guess.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And since it has the name of Harvard, I would say, yeah, it has some good backing. So if someone says that, then you can definitely share that. But if you're, are you based in India?
Yeah, in India.
So there is Indira Gandhi Open University also, which offers you to give to take a degree while being totally remote. That's one good option too. Mm-hmm. And apart from that, if you are really concentrated into testing, there's a really good new testing essentials certification, which Ministry of Testing has launched. Highly recommended.
Okay.
And yeah, these are the three things which are coming to my mind. I see someone has also joined. Please go ahead if you have anything to share.
Hey, hi. Hi, everyone. Hi, Ben. How are you doing?
Welcome, Suman. Thank you very much for joining us. And thank you, Asatosh, for your recommendation there. I will definitely be having a look at that CS50 course. That's an interesting resource to share. Suman, do you want to join in with the conversation? How's your week of testing been?
Yeah, you know, it is good. So I want to just pitch in and say, like, what I've seen work, you know, majority of the time, if you don't have degrees, right? And obviously, some interviewers will look what degree you have. Some things that work for a lot of people is your portfolio, how you're participating in the community, your GitHub projects, right? If you can showcase those things in your resume, that goes a long way. And that time, they will not ask you about degrees. They will ask or rather question you about the work that you have done, the conferences that you have participated in, the different topics that you have discussed. You know, those the interview goes into that direction. So if you don't have any degree, one thing, obviously, the ones that Ashutosh mentioned, you can have those as well. But this is another aspect that you can look into.
Definitely, that is for sure. In this context, I will also share a couple of peers that I had in my previous organization back in India. So there was this person who was a dropout. So in India, dropouts are considered as very, very taboo, or it's not very common. So this chap was offered a job in his last semester, and he never completed his last semester afterwards. And I think one of my cousins also did the same thing. In his last semester, he just went off to start something new. So yes, if you have tangible skills that you can build something, that's the best. GitHub or even building something in a public platform, that also helps. Even if you're just sharing, for example, there are a collection of articles in Ministry of Testing, and if you go through them and you identify a topic and you learn about it, what are your takeaways? Just start putting those in your LinkedIn as a LinkedIn post. And or just do the 30 days of testing in Ministry of Testing. Even that should be really, really helpful. And that actually helps building up a profile around what your skills are and what you're capable of. This even 30 days of API testing with Postman, I would say. That's also a really good exercise to build up a strong portfolio around that. Yes, you're good in API testing. So yes, I see Manish has also joined. Go ahead, Manish.
Hey guys, happy Friday, everybody. Hey Ben, hey Sarah, hey Ashutosh. Nice talking to you, man, again. Hey Kunal, welcome to the group. I'm glad you're here. So this is an awesome community where people talk about everything related to testing. So echoing on what Sumon and Ashutosh have mentioned. Coming from India, I worked in India. A long time ago, but what I see as a general practice is if you are a fresher, some kind of degree is definitely expected of you, especially these service-based companies where you're trying to join. But of late, what I've seen is the past 4 or 5 years or 3 or 4 years. So if you can build a portfolio for yourself, when I say portfolio, people these days, they are concentrating on one technology, say for instance, Selenium and Java. I've got nothing against Selenium, Java, just the sake of it, for the sake of it, I'm taking that example. So when you only concentrate on one thing, so that gets really difficult for you to land a job. So what I would recommend, what I've seen as a general practice is people, they are, I mean, I've seen a couple of people who have taken a break from work to build a portfolio for themselves. So I've seen at least two, three people who I talk to, and then they have taken a break, and then they have started building a solid portfolio for themselves, not just with automation, be it API testing, be it, I mean, understanding what the future of testing is, like what the newer technologies that are coming into play. So building a solid portfolio would be the way to go. And again, as Ashutosh has mentioned, I would again echo on like some certifications from some reputable institutions. So that would again give you a good footing into the industry.
Thank you very much, Manish. And also, Simon and Ashutosh, those are all really great answers. Feel free to stay up on stage and talk to us more about your week in testing. Kunal, I've got a question for you, but before I do, I just wanted to ask, does that help answer your question? Are these the kind of I think there's some really good answers there.
Yeah, I would like to say like thank you to Suman, Manish, as those like these insights are really helpful. And I'm currently working in a company like in Bangalore. So yeah, I'll work on these things like you talk about the hardware certification and the things that we Ministry of Testing is offering. Yeah, thank you so much.
You are in the mecca of IT, Kunal. So I would highly recommend go join some meetups, meet with some like-minded people. I think they have some test Ministry of Testing. There are other meetups on testing also. But yes, if you don't have a degree and if you anyway feel that constraint that there are a few things that are being talked about or technologies that you're not aware of, a holistic or a overview of computer science course would definitely help, for example, CS50. And yes, keep talking to people or the companies which have such kind of meetups, even if it's not regarding testing, if it's even about DevOps, even if it's about best practices in data engineering, I would say go ahead and these are all the things that we would also need eventually in our applications and our day-to-day work. So yes, that also helps.
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you so much.
Thank you for bringing up the topic as well and asking the question, Kunal. This is a very cool topic. I think the whole question of do I need a degree to work in testing is one that has been had a number of times, and I know that similar questions go around the software development communities as well. One thing I would also say is if you're interested in learning some of the fundamentals, like there's a difference between I don't have a degree and I want to learn some of the things I've missed out on versus I don't have a degree and I want to prove to an employer I don't need one because I'm already experienced in testing, right? So I think if you want to go learn some more about the fundamentals of computer science, I love the options that I've already been given. There's also a really great podcast. Let me go find the name of the episode for you. But there's a really great podcast by, let me see if I can find it. It's not the Code Newbie podcast. Well, that is a good one, but it's related because it's still by the same people. Two moments and I'll find it. Ah, Base CS. Yeah, the Base CS podcast. So there's actually a whole series or number of series of episodes. And the Base CS podcast is by two very cool women, one of which runs the Code Newbie podcast, which is Sharon, and Vaitahi, who wrote a really awesome series of blogs about Base CS. So this is like the basics, the base fundamentals of computer science. And I So I did do a degree, but my degree was an applied computing degree. So there's a whole load of the topics, even though I have a degree, that I didn't cover in my undergraduate degree that are kind of computer science topics. And this whole series of podcasts I found incredibly like accessible. Like they just took one topic per like 20-minute pod. So I found it really easy to understand. So like they do one whole topic like just on binary tree structures, and that it's exactly the kind of thing that you may never come across unless you do a computer science course. But there's also tons of other things in there as well. So it won't give you any kind of certification, but if you do want to learn about some of those fundamental topics, yeah, the Base CS podcast is one that's definitely worth a listen. Cool. Let me just do a quick time check. We're at past 5. We have plenty of time if anyone else wants to come up on stage. But I'm also going to ask, who have we still got here? Simon, how was your week in testing? Was there any other topic you wanted to discuss while you're on stage? Thank you again very much for joining in with the discussion there on degrees.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I'm joining the stage, even though I know you for a long time, Ben. So, yeah. So this week, it was good in the sense that I was working closely with the development team. What I feel, you know, like as testers, sometimes what we need to do is you also need to dig deeper into what developers are doing, you know, and then do some research on our side and come up with solutions that usually we don't talk about in the testing communities, but you know, something unique. So that's my learning from this week. You know, I was solving, I encountered a problem that I had to solve, not in a conventional testing way. I had to find some technical. I need to go into the deep details of those technicalities, but somehow I did that and found the solution of that problem. It's a quality problem. It was a testing problem, but I had to solve it using some technology that we usually don't use. So that's my learning. Talk to the development team, see what they're doing. If you can understand, it's well and good. If not, then you do your own research and find solution to the problems that you're encountering.
Oh, that's great. I love that, Simon. That whole, I completely agree. That whole speak to developers and also doing your own research. There's a really great lesson to learn there. I'm really thankful for you bringing that one up. We've got a couple more people joining us on stage. So welcome to Jacob. How was your week in testing?
My week's going pretty good. Thanks, Ben. This is my first time joining, so it's pretty exciting. Thanks for having me. I wanted to kind of just chime in, I suppose. I was listening to everyone's contribution on it with suggestions, and I believe that skills are absolutely applicable, but to the point of what others were saying, that you have to know what problem you're solving. And that's something that's over and beyond just the education, the certification. You can know about a test pyramid, you can know what UI testing is, but along the full stack, do you know where to apply that test and what to expect? What are the circumstances you're going to encounter? So, you know, one of the suggestions that sometimes I make is, you know, categorize, you know, like this is for, you know, EDE testing. This is what, you know, understand the layers of the SDLC and where that testing applies and where those feedback loops get back to who. Is the developer going to be reading this maybe through Slack or Teams and see, here's the actual and expected results of this particular automated test. Here are the artifacts, everything, all those operations also, including monitoring. So there's so much to it. And really showing that you have a full stack holistic view of that really helps from a standpoint of looking, because if you just have the skill, then it's just parsed and mapped. And there's so many folks out there. So that's one. And then finally, getting into a mentorship, you know, having somebody and someone somewhere like this and showing what problems you've solved, because you don't have the real world experience yet. Build it through, you know, have individuals challenge you. Go to ChatGPT and say, issue me a challenge. And you know, maybe do that, do whatever you can, and document the best of that with the help of mentors, and get recommendations on LinkedIn for those things that you've done. Always, you know, just be working on your resume. But that's my two cents. I just wanted to chime in. Thank you.
That's a great contribution. Thank you very much, Jacob. Yeah, I love that. And I think you're absolutely right that kind of fundamental learning of where do I apply my knowledge is very helpful. I think it's the kind of thing as well that you build up through experience and throughout your career that you don't necessarily pick up during a degree. So it's that kind of thing you can offer on top to say, look, I may not have a degree, but hey, look, I've actually done testing and I can apply it over here. So that's very cool. We have a few more people who have come up on stage. So I want to give people a chance to say hello. I think it's Zahil. Apologies if I'm mispronouncing your name.
Hello, Ben. As soon as I understand you are pronouncing my name, that's okay. Actually, I would like to ask bring another topic, which is there is a new trend about QA engineering and testing roles. Some big tech companies start to create new teams where only software engineers in, no developer, no tester. So I'm wondering what people think about this, if you have worries about this. I know lots of companies, my company is one of them, so lots of QAs and testers has been laid off. So what we should do in this situation? Do we need to gain some development skills, guys? What's your opinion on this?
That's a great topic. Thank you very much, Zahil. And just to say, you've got quite a bit of, I don't know if you're into where windy or if your mic is a little bit close to your mouth, you've a little bit of background noise there. I don't know if there's anything you can do for that. That's a great question. So just to repeat that for the group, with companies creating software teams with engineers where there is no tester or like designated quality engineer, how are we going to kind of compete and continue our roles? So I'm going to throw that one open to those who are already live here on the call. Does anyone want to take that?
I would like to ask this question first, that how is it the transition being happening? Is it the people who are already in the different roles, are they being upskilled, or it's just like big bang, now you're a software engineer, now just start doing something which you were not doing before?
As this information, I don't think I can share everything, but it was a big bang. It was like, yes, we are now reorganizing our teams, and this is the new way of working. And I know lots of friends, this is not only one company, lots of companies, especially in the UK, is doing this. So people lost their jobs.
Can I add something here? I have been in such a situation once. What happened was, so we were hired as a bunch of testers. I mean, not a bunch of them, a couple of them on the team. But later the whole organization, the company went through a reorg structure. So they started rebranding the QA engineers as software engineers, right? So, I mean, there are two cases totally. One is completely eliminating the QA team and then rebranding the QA engineers as of software engineers. So the latter was the case where I was put in, where they expect, I mean, my manager, he was into like, everybody should have this, if not same, but at least to some degree, the same kind of knowledge that everybody on the team should have. As in, so the practice that they employed was started giving a small defects for the QA team to fix. You know what I mean? So that was the starting structure. But then, I mean, that was in my old organization. But in the current organization, we still have a QA team, which is part of a Scrum team. But I have seen people taking this transition from having a dedicated QA engineer to everybody as a software engineer, where they should in some way or form be able to contribute to the team's development, right? So one way that we did it was for the QA team or the people who didn't have much of development experience to take on smaller tasks like fixing the bugs or adding some styles to the UI. So that's one way we did it. I mean, again, all I would say is, I mean, rather than a degree or something, or rather than going by the role, if you can have those problem solving skills is what matters the most, rather than having a real experience.
So I also,
if you can get it.
Yeah, sorry, Manish.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I want to add my two cents to what Manish is saying. So if you see, right, if you are already working with automation or testing in general, you might be working with a lot of tools, right, that developers also use. You might be using Jenkins. You might be using some. You might be creating some utility to help your testing initiatives, right? You are already doing some things that developers do, right? So if you can add to that skill that you already have, right, and see if you can upskill yourself on that role, you'll see that at some point things will merge. You can also contribute some testers. I know they also contribute to the unit testing that Manish was mentioning, right? So there are lots and lots of tools that testers use that developers also use. So you can have that. And the best thing about testing is that you have that quality mindset, that you know how to improve the quality of the product. So that adds, and developers, I have seen a lot of developers, they don't have that quality mindset, to be frank, right? So you are already adding value. You are already using the tools that you already know, right? If you can upskill on those tools, you will definitely be a kind of, you can add to that role or that engineering role. And they'll see, the managers and whoever will be leading the team, they will see how you are contributing to the overall engineering.
Just want to add a couple of points. I recently read an article which was talking about the mindset that a developer and the tester has, right? See, developers, mostly they are creative people. So their mindset is more at the creative point of view, in the creative point of view, whereas as testers, our point of view should be more at the destructive, in the destructive point of view, right? So having these two mindsets in the same team, I mean, I think is going to help. Again, what I did is like I usually go and talk to my developers and then my managers, architects, and then ask them I ask them to be my mentors and then help me in any way I can gain information, be it from the way you write your code, like the way you do your PR review. So this will give you insights into what a developer does in his day-to-day life, right? So that, I mean, you are already writing your code. I mean, it's not that you are not writing, you are already writing your code. It's just that you need some more exposure and some more experience in the way developers write their code, be it the standards that they follow, be it the coding practices that they do. So if you keep talking to them and then ask them to be your mentor and then just walk you through on the processes that they follow, it will give you some more insights into what they do. And by starting slow, by writing unit tests and then fixing small bugs, that will give you some more footing into what a developer world is. So this way you can definitely upskill yourself. And then you always, it's always better that you bring something more to the table. When I say more to the table, like don't just confine yourself for testing. I mean, do automation testing, like do the observability thing, like do the whole SRE reliability thing. Like, so bring something, when you bring more to the table, that's when people realize like your worth in the team. They think that like you bring more than what's expected of you. So yeah, I mean that what I'm trying to say here is like bring something extra to the table where people will actually see your value.
Thank you, Manish. And thank you everyone for joining in on this topic. I hope that was useful for you, Zala. So the one thing I just want to throw out there, and then I want to move on to introducing Lotfi to the conversation is, I think it really depends on which way you want to go. I think you have two strong options, right? And people in the community like Callum Akehurst Ryan have really shown where it is possible to stay in a exploratory test leadership or quality coaching and exploratory testing kind of role and not be pushed into automation. And so it's same with a few other people like Lee Marshall, who again actively doesn't want to be involved in test automation or be a developer, but they bring other things to the table. There might not be as many options for those kind of work. It might be more plentiful to find the more automation style roles, but it's not impossible. There are some roles out there at the moment, at least, that are still available for that more quality coaching or exploratory tester kind of positions. I guess that might be a regional thing, though. I don't know where in the world you're applying for jobs, but definitely here in the UK, there's at least some roles that are still available in those areas. Okay, so whether you want to join into an existing topic or start us with a new one, Lotfi, do you want to unmute yourself and tell us how was your week in testing? Sorry if I got your name pronunciation bad. Is it Lotfi? Just doing a little bit of a time check while Lotfi, while you work on finding the unmute button, which can be different on different devices. We've got about 15 minutes left. We probably still have enough time if one or two people want to come up new on stage. So feel free to put your hand up if you want to join us. And for those of you still on stage, Manish, Jacob, Ashtosh, Kunil, and there you are.
okay. So it's my first time here, so nice to meet you too. It's a pleasure to talking with you and for each one of you. So I would like to know what is the innovation in automation testing. Because I already entered the Illenium, which is the Selenium with the AI, but I would like to know more if there is any further innovation in the automation testing field.
Thank you for joining us. As you were saying, if there's other innovations beyond, did you say Selenium?
Okay. So in with automation testing, we will use some framework like Selenium, Cypress, Playwright. There is a lot of tool, but the innovation in our day is the Illenium. So what is the Illenium? The Illenium is an AI tool which use the Selenium with the artificial intelligence, with the AI, okay? With the infrastructure, with the Docker, and it's helpful for the automation testing. So I already entered the Illenium tool inside the company that I work. But I would like to know if there is more another tool regarding the innovation in the automation testing.
That is a great question, and I haven't heard of that one before. Illenium or Illenium. It would be really interesting to perhaps you could post a link to that one later on the comments for this live event. I would like to definitely check that one out. I'll throw that one open to the group. Has anyone got any innovations in automation? So I guess that could be AI or otherwise.
Ben, I can take a shot at it.
Go for it, Jacob.
Okay. I've seen a lot of really great projects showing up on GitHub where people are, wiring up various LLMs to Selenium, Cypress, Playwright. And there's really fascinating things going on. There's small companies forming, and there's a lot of promise. I've personally evaluated a lot of these AI tools that are more official. For instance, ServiceNow, they have a Now Assist feature that's supposed to automate operations. So there are a lot of innovative tools that are happening right now. I don't think they're mature enough because, for instance, you want it to crawl up a specific page and pick up locators, for instance. Everybody is tired of having to change the locators over and over. So you think about an application that's going to constantly change, and the maintenance of having to go back, change your locators, maybe if they're not dynamic, all of you know. The AI, one of the big innovations is how do we keep up with the change? Can we monitor, UI changes, user experience changes, which is really difficult to capture. So another innovative change in the area of monitoring, this is really fascinating. So you have something like Dynatrace. It's capturing user journeys. It's capturing all this information, and errors are happening. So now the error can be fed back. You have data fed back to a system that people know what to do with. But something else fascinating, there's AI bots now being trained to go in to look at these user journeys and be able to understand, are they taking the happy path? No, it's out in the wild. The best QA in the world is out in the wild. So all of these things are happening, and it's fascinating to be able to take AI and do data analytics for user journeys and come up with scenarios maybe. I've been able to write some Gherkin scenarios based on these types of things, looking at Dynatrace data. It was like sequential pattern mining through data using artificial intelligence, and I can get it done a lot faster than I ever would have before, but now I have insights. So I said all that, sorry, to say that AI is a great tool for you to delegate work to and be able to get information from to map pattern mine and to be able to really have a very robust, holistic view of QA. But any tools that have these types of innovations, it's not static. The LLM is reacting to a stimulus. It's not a canned response. So as a result, you have varying degrees of, you know, responses through these tools. So it's maturing, and I would imagine that within a few years, individuals will be able to shift left, write down Gherkin scenarios, and it may just go ahead and crawl the site and be able to write playwright classes in a page object model for you. We are getting closer to that kind of thing, but I still think we're a couple of years away, but absolutely stay on top of the LLM journey because it's so huge in QA right now.
Thank you very much, Jacob. That is very cool. So, yeah. So, and I looked it up, Lotfi. The I think the one that you were talking about, was it Helium? Like healing selenium?
Yes, it's like the self-healing. So if a locator change the place in the HTML page, so with the self-healing, Illinium will catch and know this change and generate a new locator.
Ah, great, cool. That does sound like a AI strategy that I've heard before. What's quite cool about this is it looks like it's compatible with other existing frameworks. So it like plugs into like WebDriver or Selenium or Solenoid. Is that right?
Yes, Illinium is the Selenium with AI, and inside Docker, for example, if the developer made a new feature and the HTML page have some changes, so in the next step, the Illinium will catch the change and generate a new locator. And later, and thanks to Illinium, so our pipeline still green because Illinium catch the change of the locator and prevent the pipeline to fail. So this is the importance of Illinium.
We are truly living in the future, my friends. That is very cool. Yes, and excellent for asking if what other innovations are out there. I think this kind of self-healing automation is exactly where things are focused at the moment. But I really like what you were saying, Jacob. I think you're absolutely right that the next future is going to be about that kind of analyzing production traffic and being able to capture those as tests that you can bring back into your other environment. That kind of level of both understanding production traffic, but also then being able to capture it to help you inform your tests. I am all in for that future when that tooling matures, because that kind of observability feeding back into testing, that's cool. That's a feedback loop I want.
It's fascinating.
It really is.
I would like to add something here, Ben.
Go ahead, Manish.
No. Oh, yes. Ashutosh here, but never mind. We might sound the same. So while we are, you know, talking about all these changes, I don't think there's an urgency to, you know, switch. For example, if you have found Helenium and in next few years, we found other things that, technology is not going to just stand still. But there should not be a need to actually move all the time. What I'm also trying to, you know, approach it is it as, so all these tools which are built over some ML model, they are basically trained on this data to heal your locators or things like this. So it will, at the back end, there is an ML model. And if you change that, or if there are issues coming to it, or there are some biases, then those need to be identified too. And this will be like, again, a never ending process that, yes, it has its own shortcomings. But yes, there are so many things, and we should not be in the lookout for what's next big thing, and instead master what is going on right now. For example, Helenium, or how we are consuming these ML models into the tools. So yes, there are a plethora of tools, agents who have, you know, consumed ChatGPT or other large language models and prepared their own tools and selling as test bots to everybody. But yes, I would say once it's more stable and more having more how should I say this, context to what we are trying to do in a holistic way, not just experts or things like that. So it's just using a large language model to you know, fix a problem of locators only would be like asking Iron Man to maybe clear out a huge web or like a beehive at your home. So something like this. But yes, open to all these things nevertheless.
I love your imagery, Asutosh. And Manish, you've unmuted. I think you also had something to add. Go ahead.
Yes. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Asutosh. And Jacob, really, thanks for bringing up these points. I really resonate with everything that you have mentioned. I mean, that said, I recently have been trying an AI tool for Playwright. I mean, we use Playwright in our project. So the tool that I'm talking about is called Zero Step. I think the future would be, locators is a very big problem right now where constantly changing. So with Zero Step, what they do is like you just write a plain English. I mean, just like you write your Gherkin syntaxes, all you have to do is you just go and write these steps, like go and fill out my form, go and click on this button, right? And then it'll automatically take those locators and then start performing these actions, which I found it very fascinating on how they do it. I mean, I did some more digging into it and then realized they have integrated ChatGPT into it. The ChatGPT 4, I believe, that's what they have integrated. They are using this ChatGPT open APIs to talk to these applications. But it's still in the very initial stages, I believe. There are some inherent issues that I found. And if there are different CTAs with the same label on it, then it gets really confusing on which one to interact with. But that said, I think people are moving, the companies are moving in the right direction on how they want to do it. But if anybody wants to check it out, Zero Step is the one that's, it's already integrated with Playwright. So if you want to go check it out, I mean, it's a fascinating one.
Okay, thank you very much, Manish. Yes, so Zero Step, that's another one to add to the list of things to take a look at. And just having a little bit of time check, we are coming to the end of the hour. So I just want to thank very much everyone who came up on stage today. I really appreciate you joining in, and I really appreciate joining in for the first time. It's really awesome to have that bravery to put your hand up and come and start or join in a conversation for the first time. And I really appreciate those of you who are coming back time and time again and are helping me out here, really handing on the conversation. I really genuinely appreciate how polite everyone has been and how you have all really made an effort to hand off to each other and make space. I think that's a really excellent thing to do. So thank you all very much for that. Just to summarize, we have had a very cool conversation today. We have spoken about AI and automation, innovations in automation. We have spoken about topics such as do we all need to go and become developers because some companies are getting rid of their explicit tester positions. And we have spoken about a number of other excellent topics. Just a reminder once again, and I'm getting very excited about this, the first day of Test Bash 2024 in Brighton, which is in a couple of weeks' time, is all about AI. There are activities, there are workshops, there are presentations. If you can get yourself there in person and you can get yourself over to Brighton, do go and take advantage of that. That will be very cool to see you in person. A little while after Test Bash is finished, if you are a pro member, the presentations on stage, I believe, as usual, will be recorded and made available to rewatch by pro members. But the workshops themselves are the kind of thing you want to take advantage of live and in the room. And the hallway conversations and the activities are all those kind of value-added things, which even watching things back, it's never quite the same. So if you can get yourself to Test Bash, give it a go. Can you tell I'm a little bit excited? I really am. As we get close to the hour, is there anything else on my grand list of things to remember? Yes, final reminder that next week on the 30th, we are skipping a This Week in Testing as we prepare for Test Bash. We will post a new event, and I'm sure Simon and AJ will communicate with you all shortly via the LinkedIn group when the next This Week in Testing is scheduled in. And one more time, thank you very much for the Ministry of Testing for hosting this podcast and this weekly discussion. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with all the cool people in the community who are turning up and asking questions and contributing. You're sharing excellent, excellent material and tools and giving each other support. It's very cool to see. And yeah, one more time, thank you very much for our audience. It's really appreciative for you to come and listen live, and anyone who is taking the time to listen on the podcast, we appreciate you. Thank you very much, and I hope you've had an excellent week in testing. Enjoy your weekend and have a good week next week.